I too want to welcome you to our worship service this day. Thank you for being part of this time. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We ask, O Lord, that you would follow us, lead us, guide us, and direct us through this time of worship. Let us hear the voice of your Spirit calling, and let us know, O Lord, that you are celebrating with us both our communion and the grace that we have through your Son. Allow us to be in your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I would like to do something before we sing our first song. For those who are on the internet watching, and we do know we have a few people doing that. They may not see me at this point, but they can hear me. We're having communion today, and we want to invite you to join us in that communion. So as you're singing the first hymn with us, go to your kitchen and find grape juice and find crackers and bring them to the TV or in front of your iPad or phone that you're watching. And as I bless the communion elements, I will bless ours and yours that you have there during the communion time, so that you can partake, because as an online person, you are part of our family just as much as the one sitting here. And we appreciate your presence online and look forward to your presence in our sanctuary. Now, Miss Terry.
Please stand with us as we sing How Firm a Foundation.
Shall not hurt thee, I only desire.
forsake. Let us turn to Confession and Pardon, which is found on page 8 in your United Methodist hymn book. It's also on the screen. Let us join together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. We'd ask that you would join us in a time of prayer. If you have any prayer requests you would like to bring before us this morning, we would ask that you would feel free to do so. Mary Lynn and I would ask that you would pray for our friend who lost her mother on yesterday. And the funeral I hear now is Tuesday. Is that right? Is that right? Tuesday? Okay. And so just be in prayer for her. Name's Samantha Johnson. Just be in prayer for her family. Anybody else?
Continue to remember Brittany.
Remember Brittany. Hoped she would be able to make it today and just can't get well.
Supposed to be online.
So. She's online. Hey, Brittany. anybody else? All right, let's pray together. In the presence of your Holy Spirit, in the worship with those who come together and pray for each other, we do pray, O Lord, that you would be with Brittany and you would bless her, that her healing continue. We also pray for Pat Brown, that you would bless her and let her healing within her mind, body, and soul continue in a way that only you can. And with others that we've heard mentioned this morning, both in this room and outside and other places in our church, that you would bless and be with them, that you would heal them, that you would give them strength, and that you would allow them to find that healing power of the Holy Spirit within their being, within their soul. Now allow us this day as your people gathered to hear the word as we sing, to hear the word in this prayer, and to hear the reading of the scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit in it. And in our communion, may the communion be a blessing to all that partake, and may we hear the word of God as we take it. Now we ask, O Lord, that you would bless our time together, bless the healing of our nation, the healing for those who are in the war in the Ukraine. Bless them as they go through this time. And those who continue to struggle because of earthquakes and in other natural disasters. And as we hear again this morning of another shooting in our country, that you would be with those families and bless them. May we as the church, your church, be in prayer for each other. And we offer this prayer today in the name of the one who gives us life and life eternal, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Please stand with us again as we sing, I Am Thine, O Lord.
Let us pray together. And now may we give as you have given our entire being to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So you heard Terry say, we're trying new things. Scarlett, I have used a clicker during sermons. So I went out and spent a lot of money, $13.48, to buy a very inexpensive clicker to see if we could figure out if we could use one. So anything that goes wrong over the next few minutes is my fault, not Keith's. So just let you know that. And we're going to see if I can work through sermon with us together, making sure that we have that together. But first, before we work into the sermon itself, let us turn to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 13, beginning with verse 31, and we will in it hear God's word for all of us through verse 35. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, Luke 13, 31. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons, performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. So your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you will say, 'Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. All right, here we go. Y'all ready? Ready for the grand experiment to start out with? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless us in our time together. Help us to hear your word, your grace, and your peace. And in it, let us walk this path to Jerusalem. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So let us set the scene for you. Jesus is just finished some of his teaching. The Pharisees are there. Sadducees, we assume, are also present. Other disciples are there. And he is in this place of teaching, and the Pharisees come to him, and in that setting, they say to him, "You need to leave because Herod wants to kill you." Now, the scene is set with the Pharisees being the one that warns Jesus instead of being the one that are the ones testing him and trying him. It is the Pharisees making sure he knows of the danger he's in. And he gives this quote, they give this quote about Herod. And it says that Herod is out to kill you. Now, in the rest of the scriptures, what we find is that we find them talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees being the one trying to trap Jesus, trying to entangle Jesus, trying to get Jesus to be in places that he doesn't want to be, and trying to get him caught in a lie so they can prosecute him. But in this scene by itself, we have Pharisees trying to help and Herod be the one trying to kill him. Now let's get the relation together and then we'll have finished the scene. The relationship is Jesus is cousin to John. If he was in the South, he would be his second cousin. Not in the South, so he's his cousin. But if he lived in, if he was from Atlanta or Knoxville, he'd be second cousin, you know. And so, and that is a relationship they have together. And what did Herod do to John? He beheaded him because John told him he was an adulteress. And he was. So he just told him what he was, and he beheaded him for that. And so Jesus then has Herod after him, and the scene is in its place for Jesus to respond by saying the following words, "Tell this fox, tell that fox," and then you're going to see what he says. So the scene is set, and I think it's lovely and wonderful that he tells them, the Pharisees, who are normally the ones trying to catch him, to tell Herod, who we don't necessarily see is the one trying to catch him, and he calls him a fox. Outside of my house as a child, my bedroom sat on one end of the house, and outside of it, right out of my window, was the chicken coop. Y'all know what a chicken coop is, right? Everybody know what a chicken coop is? Y'all been around enough to know. And we had Rhode Island Reds. Do y'all know Rhode Islands? They're messy and they're difficult to deal with, and they make some of the best eggs there ever was. And Mom always liked to wring a couple necks, but that's another story. And so outside there was the chicken coop, and it was my job as a child and then as a young teenager, it was my job to take care of the chickens. So foxes, because of where we live, love to come down the creek and get into the chicken coop. So when I was 11 years old, some of y'all may think this is wrong, it was a different time and a different era, my daddy gave me a 410 shotgun and told me to take care of the fox. I said, "Daddy, you getting up?" He said, "No, you're 11, you do it yourself." So I had the 410 shotgun, the shell, and when the fox came around, guess what I did? I went out and told the fox what Jesus just did. "I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You're going to do what you're going to do. And we'll see how it turns out." Notice what he says, though. And the first one's up. Let's see if I can get to a second one in a second. Jesus says, "I'm going to keep on. I'm going to keep doing what I said I was going to do." So on the first day, second day, and third day, I'm going to keep doing. I'm going to keep moving forward. Now we're going to see if it works. You ready? Huh?
The first thing will be the scripture, and then you'll go to the
See how it does? It's not working. Man, you said you had it right. We're going to give it about two more clicks and we're going to keep going. So there's one. Maybe Mary Lynn's going to have to do it. At the church I had before this one, I had to walk around and find my spot, and I would do that. And then,
there it is.
See, he may have done it back there. Did I do that? Did you do that? You did it, didn't you? Okay. All right, we'll keep trying. Herod wants you dead. We talked about that. Go to the next one. Let's see if I can do it. One more. Now, all right, we're going to work on it again, friends. One of these days, we're going to get this working. So it works fine. I bet if I hit reverse, it'll go backwards. Nope, not working. Okay. Don't worry about it this time. All right. Do I? It went backwards, didn't it? Don't worry about it, Keith. We'll let it go. We knew this was going to be an interesting morning. That's why we prayed for your patience. Once, twice, for today, the clicker's dead. You do that, I do that. Yeah, you're doing it. Just cut it off, I'll preach without it, and then we'll work on it next week. And so we're going to get it working. I may have to pay $15.99 for one. So in the midst of this, he says, for today and tomorrow and the next day, I'm going to cure and I'm going to cast out. Send this to Herod and you tell him, on these days, I'm going to cure the people and I'm going to cast out demons. And that's what I'm going to do for the next 3 days. And the very next sentence after that, he says, and on those next 3 days, while I'm curing and cast out demons, I'm going to make my way to Jerusalem. I'm headed that way. And you tell that fox, you let him know. It don't matter what he thinks I'm going to do. He may be the king, but he's not the king and the king and the Lord of lords. He's just simply king over this area. Now, he may want me not to do something, and he may be trying to kill me, but here I come, because we all know that prophets don't get killed outside of Jerusalem. That he's not going to kill me, and nobody's going to kill me, no matter how hard they try, no matter what they do. I'm marching that way, and here I come, and you might as well just get over it. Now, you're saying, boy, that's a lot. Well, the Bible never includes everything that's said. If it did, the books of the world wouldn't be able to hold everything that Jesus said or did. So he marches on to Jerusalem. He marches with this boldness and with this courage to know that the people around him want him dead. And he's going because he knows he's going to die. He tells his disciples again in this conversation that death is coming. Today and tomorrow and the next day I'm going, and no prophet dies outside of Jerusalem saying, I'm going to die there. It's coming. And here I come. I wonder how many of us would have the courage to march towards where we know we're going to die. See, I always think of our first responders. When everybody else is going one way, which way are they going? They're going towards the danger. I think of our military folks. When everybody else is running for cover, who's going towards the danger? Our military people. I think of folks who are willing to go towards the danger. Well, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords doesn't shy away from the danger. What does he do? He looks the Herod right in the eye and says, here I come, do what you can. I'm going to do this. At the very end of that little section, he says, and after I finish this next 3 days, you won't see me again until they proclaim me as the one who's coming into Jerusalem. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And in doing that, he tells them again, this is where we're going, apostles, disciples, anybody that wants to listen, this is where we're headed. But after these next 3 days of intense ministry, where I'm going to cure, I'm going to change people, I'm going to heal people, after these next 3 days, you won't see me again until I enter. Miss Terry, that's what's coming. He's told them, that's it. Now, y'all know later on, when he enters Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday, a week before his resurrection, we know what happens. He enters, and what do? They throw cloaks, and they throw palm branches down, and they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But then you have this section right after this in this same reading where the tone changes. It goes from this, here's what I'm going to do, and this is the way it is, to Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how much I love you. How much I've wanted to wrap you up in my arms like a hen wraps up her chicks under her wings and love you and care for you. How much I've wanted to protect you. I came for the reason to protect you. I came to wrap you up. Listen to the tone change from this bold, brash person that's telling Herod what's going to happen to the person who knows what it's like to have motherly love, caring love for her chicks. Remember, we are his sheep, sheep of his pasture. Hear that speech and this caring, and he comes and he wraps his arms around and says, I've wanted to do this so badly. And yet, you wouldn't let me. Think about it, my friends. How many times have you had people that you just wanted to hug? Just wanted to wrap your arms around them and hug them and love on them, and they wouldn't let you. They won't let you be the loving person that you want to be. They keep you at arm's length, as the saying goes. Jesus wants to love them. Jesus wants to love us. But the very next sentence, but the house is yours. The very next words that come there says, if you won't let me love you, then the decisions and the house is all yours. It's your decision. You're the one that makes up your mind. You're the one that has the free will. If you don't let me care for you, then you are going to take care of it yourselves. And how does that usually turn out? Look at what we do. I don't know if y'all, maybe y'all don't do this. At my house, Mary Lynn and I have insurance on the house. We pay a nice fee in our house payment to take care of our insurance. So if something comes along and destroys our house, guess what we have? We have insurance to pay for it. You know, y'all have eternal insurance that you won't pay for. It's free, by the way. It's been paid. But you won't pay for it and giving yourselves to the one who wants to love you and care for you. You won't allow that loving to happen. I wonder how many times God has said to the United States of America, please let me love you more. How many times he said to the Israelite nation in our Old Testament readings, I will be your God if you will be my people. The standard is being God's people. We can take all the laws that we've written and we can take everything that we say people have to act this way, step this way, move this way. We can say all those things. But just remember, God's response to the people in Israel was, I'll be your God if you will be my people, if you will come to me, if you will let me love you. See, we refuse the totality of God's love. We don't let God love us the way God wants us to love us. Nobody in this congregation, I'm sure, are stubborn. None of us have our own will. None of us decide what we're going to do, whether God likes it or not, kind of what Jesus did to Herod. Yet God just wants to love us. And we've lost that understanding of love. So he comes to this moment where he's coming to Jerusalem. The house is theirs, and they will decide whether they'll love him. And we're going to find on that Passion Palm Sunday, Herod entering the main gates on the white horse the way they all thought Jesus would enter. And Jesus entering to another gate, on a donkey with cloaks and palm branches. The difference between those two are so stark. And it's meant to be. It's meant to be that way. He comes. The blessing is there. And yet, over all these times, have we actually heard the call and paid attention? On this day when we celebrate communion, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Because he's coming. And in the coming, we will find God's grace. I'd ask you to join me on what is page 15 for you in the hymn book. You also see it on the screen. The Great Thanksgiving. And this one, as I read it, it's for early Lent. You'll see the one on 15. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, you formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love fell, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, you bore up the ark of the waters, saved Noah and his family, and made covenant with every living creature on earth. When you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, you gave us your commandments and made us your covenant people. When the people forsook your covenant, your prophet Elijah fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And on your holy mountain, he heard your still small voice. And so were the people on earth and all the company of heaven. We praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sin, your Spirit led him into the wilderness, where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, prepared for his ministry. When he suffered and died on the cross for our sin, you raised him to be present and presented him alive to your apostles during 40 days and exalted him at your right hand. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Now when we, your people, prepare for the yearly feast of Easter, you lead us to repentance for sin and the cleansing of our hearts, that during these 40 days of Lent, we may be gifted in grace to reaffirm the covenant you made with us through Christ. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to the disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offered for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ. that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now allow us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That's the ones who are going to assist me to come at this time. Thank you, Mary. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Come as God leads you to come. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Is there anybody that has not been served that would be?
Please stand with us as we sing, I Need Thee Every Hour. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You have come to us this day by our singing. You have come to us this day by prayer. You have come to us by the reading of your scriptures and the proclamation of the word. You have come to us by the body and blood of Christ in communion. And now you asked us to come to you and be your children. And you promise to be our God. Let us go into a world that needs us because they need you. And let us be your children. And we have faith that you will be our God. We go forth in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In his name we pray. Amen. Now in peace, go. Peace.